May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Our God is a consuming fire. Yeah. I tell you what, there are some Sundays when that's just exactly what I want to hear when I come to church. How about you? Now, I'm not talking about those bad days when you wake up with a headache and the day just goes downhill from there. You stub your toe getting out of bed. You pour a bowl of cereal only to discover there's no milk left in the house. And your toothbrush just slips out of your hand and somehow, as if by magic, manages to fall behind the toilet. Those are not the kind of days I'm talking about. I'm talking about those days when you wake up and it's like there's a song stuck in your head. You've never heard it before, but its melody is so compelling that you don't even mind that it's stuck in your head. I'm talking about those days when the world has been washed clean by last night's rain, and the air is fresh and crisp, and thanks be to God, maybe a little bit cooler than the billion degrees that it's been recently. We don't have much sunlight today, but sometimes on days like that, the sunlight just makes you feel alive. Days like that, it hits home that there are things in this life that really matter. Those are the days that I want to come to church and I want to hear the Holy Scriptures proclaim to me that our God is indeed a consuming fire. Because those are the days when I'm ready to hear what God can do. When I'm ready to believe what God is going to do. And when my eyes are opened to what God is doing. And because so many other days bring story after story of pain, of suffering, fear, rejection, violence, hatred, and perhaps most brutal of all, a chilling indifference to all of the above on the part of so many people. In fact, the suffering and sorrows of this world can be so overwhelming, so daunting, that at times that sin of indifference finds a foothold in my own heart. It makes me want to echo the prophet Jeremiah's response when the word of God happened to him in the Old Testament today, appointing him a prophet to the nations. "Not me, God," he says. "What can I possibly do? I'm only a boy, or a girl, or a school teacher, or a truck driver, or a consultant, or a technician, or a freshman, or a poet, or a family doctor, or a painter, or a scholar, a wife, a husband, a single person. That's all I am. I can't speak. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too wound up. I'm too self-conscious. I'm too small." How hard it can be on days like that to hear anything about God. And yet, aren't those the very days when we most desperately need a God who is a consuming fire? It takes a consuming fire to burn away our temptation to indifference in the face of human suffering. It takes a consuming fire to burn away all of our hurts and our fears and our hesitations and insecurities. It takes a consuming fire to burn away everything that holds us in bondage, everything that holds us back from answering God's call fully with our whole lives. Thank God our God is a consuming fire. How could we serve, and why would we worship anything less? Okay, Father Christopher, that's all well and good. Very poetical even. What's that got to do with the gospel this morning, if you don't mind? Well, that's a fair question. So let's take a quick look at the gospel. Thank goodness this morning's gospel reading is nice and simple and straightforward, right? Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, like you do. And in comes a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. Well, we know where this is going, of course. Jesus heals her, because obviously that's what Jesus does. And just as obviously, the synagogue leader is immediately upset, indignant in the translation that we just heard. "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done," says the leader to this woman. And isn't it interesting that he's upset at Jesus, but he goes to the crowd and goes after the woman instead of going after Jesus? "Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." Y'all, I have to tell you, when my younger daughter was about 8 months old, she got an infection that was bad enough we had to take her to the hospital. The doctor naturally ran a number of tests to try to suss out exactly what the nature of the infection was. And several months later, her insurance company refused to cover a $300 charge for one of those tests because it wasn't, in the insurance company's view, medically necessary. Never mind that a doctor thought it was. Never mind that that particular type of infection that was being screened for can be fatal in children under a year old. Never mind the amount of documentation to that effect that the doctor faxed to the insurance company. Nope. Apparently, it wasn't about what this little girl needed. It was about the power that the insurance company had to enforce its own rules, and about our lack of power to do anything about it. "There are 6 days in which to be cured. Get sick on one of those days and not on the Sabbath." I tell you this because, having this personal experience, I can't help it when I read the words of the synagogue leader in today's gospel. It's very tempting for me to read this story as being all about rules and power. The religious establishment had rules, and they didn't have to make sense. After all, rules are rules. And the leader, as the local religious authority, had the power to invoke and enforce those rules. But then Jesus comes along and says, "Look, man, don't drag us down with your pointless rules, man." And like he always does, Jesus just turns everything upside down. That's how I'm tempted to read the story. The problem is, today's gospel isn't about rules. It's not. And it's not about power either, at least not the kind of power that we might call institutional power, embodied by the synagogue leader. Jesus isn't throwing out the rules of the Sabbath as if they're meaningless or stupid or even just annoying. It's really quite the opposite. Jesus is demonstrating the importance of truly observing, the Sabbath day, and observing it rightly and properly. Jesus is showing everybody there, and of course all of us, exactly how to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He does so by reminding us that the Sabbath is not, first and foremost, about rules at all. It's about liberation. The Sabbath commemorates Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 5 makes that clear. "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So while the synagogue leader misreads Jesus' healing of the woman as work and therefore forbidden, Jesus shows that the purpose of the Sabbath restrictions is to liberate the people so that they can be free of their burdens. That's the whole reason for it in the first place. As Ira Brent Driggers puts it in commenting on this passage, Jesus teaches here that the Sabbath ought to be a day for enacting, not inhibiting, the present-day liberation of Israelites. Now, of course, then Jesus really drives it home. "You hypocrites," he says, "does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" Healing this woman, Jesus says, is as simple and easy as untying your animals to take them to water. And you're condemning that act of liberation, despite the fact that God liberated you, because she didn't come here on the right day? It's not about flaunting rules. It's about realizing what is really, truly important. It's about realizing the purpose of the rules in the first place, which is not to condemn, but to set free. This gospel is about the kingdom of God breaking through into our human world and doing something wonderful. And that's why we need to understand that our God is truly a consuming fire. Because people make rules in order to exert power over and to control other people. God makes rules in order that we might be set free. How does God set us free? By lighting us on fire. We don't spread the kingdom by controlling other people. We spread the kingdom by letting God light us up, burn away our chains, and set us free. We do that, the whole world will rejoice at the wonderful things that God is doing.